What a day so far. This is very fun. On February 3rd, 1919, my mother was born. And so I'm moved to speak to people that I care about on the 100th anniversary of my mother's birth. And I'm grateful and humbled to speak to you of generosity. Certainly it is appropriate that generosity is the choice topic on official stewardship kickoff. Mark V. Ewert, author of The Generosity Plan, defines generosity as giving more than is necessary or expected. That is the meaning I use today, giving more than is necessary or expected. Are you wearing your green wristband? Please, it's the Ewert Generosity Challenge, a reminder to be generous every day in every situation. While researching this topic, I found, guess what? I was being more generous with money, love, and yeses. And I noticed that whenever I spent a little more or did a little extra, I never missed it. I was just glad that I did it. One form of generosity is listening. You are being generous to be here today. And we'll see if you listen or not. I'm moved. My fear was nobody would show up, so I really appreciate y'all being here. It would be fun to be like the old character on WLW radio station, the Reverend Deuteronomy Skaggs, who preached, "Dig deep, twist and shout, turn them pockets inside out, hallelujah." If I see you sleeping, I'll do that again. It was humorously suggested this be titled Sermon on the Amount. My intent is to go deeper and into the meaning of generosity. And I will tell you a bit about my tour with generosity. As I speak, I want you to think of your journey. Specifically, what is your theory of generosity and how does your theory apply to your life and to our church? Within this sermon, I'll highlight 3 points. One, different things that religions and motivational speakers say. What is your quest? What is your grail of generosity? Give, and ye shall receive, and or receive, and you shall give. That's point 3. What do others write about generosity? Henry Drummond, a Christian minister of the 1990s, wrote, "Half the world is on the wrong scent in pursuit of happiness. They think it consists in having and getting and being served by others. It, happiness, consists of giving and in serving others. He that would be the greatest among you shall be a servant." Maybe you'll see it today when the Super Bowl is on, the Chevy commercial. I think it's about generosity. I don't know. But this guy, in the driveway, he has 2 Chevy trucks. Right, one for him and one for his wife. Very generous, would you see? Because we all need 2 Chevy trucks. That commercial, like so much that we're faced on with TV and on the internet, is about consumerism. It's about having things. It's not about generosity. It's the way TV tries to fool us. Drummond says, "I shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again." And I think he also said, wear a green armband. Early rabbinic law read, "Charity is equal in importance to all the other commandments in the Torah combined." Islam teaches being charitable is a way of purifying your material deeds and thus never losing track of your most important goal, which is serving God, in this case by serving your fellow humans. Charity is considered one of the highest virtues of Hinduism. Their scriptures suggest that generosity leads to removal of sinful karma and thereby to self-purification. Generosity is important to motivational speakers. Stephen Covey writes in 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, A scarcity mentality assumes there's only so much to go around. If I don't get it, someone else will. The abundance mentality, on the other hand, flows out of a deep inner sense of personal worth and security. It is the paradigm that there is plenty out there and enough to spare for everybody. It exists in sharing, it results in sharing prestige, of recognition, of profits, of decision making. The abundance mentality opens possibilities. W. Clement Stone, author of the classic Think and Grow Rich, wrote, "Be generous. Give to those you love. Give to those who love you. Give to the fortunate. Give to the unfortunate. Yes, give especially to those you do not want to give to. You will receive abundance for your giving. The more you give, the more you will have." And that theme, that you will receive abundance in return, seems universal with the religions and with the motivational speakers. Give and you will receive, with the caveat that we give for the right reason, not so that we will receive. The right reason to benefit others. Is this a paradox? Yes, I love it. I love this paradox. Give for the right reason and you shall receive. What is your grail about generosity? Okay, this comes from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. King Arthur and his three knights approach the Bridge of Death, and they have to answer three questions. Otherwise, they pass into the gorge of eternal peril. The first two questions, one of them is the one we're coming back to, but the first two questions, everybody gets right. What is your name? And what is your quest? I seek the Holy Grail. Robin is afraid to go, so Lancelot goes first. And Lancelot's third question is, what is your favorite color? Lancelot says blue, and the little evil bridge keeper says, oh, all right, you may pass. Robin's now ready to go. He says, oh, this is easy. His third question is, what is the capital of Assyria? Why, I don't know that. He's out of here. Lancelot goes next, and his third question is, what is your favorite color? He says, blue. No, I mean green. He's gone. And finally, King Arthur. I am Arthur, King of the Britons. I seek the Holy Grail. And he's asked, what is the average airspeed of an unladed swallow? Arthur says, is that a European swallow or a South African swallow? The bridge keeper says, I don't know. The purpose of the scene is to highlight the quest for the grail, and I speak of the grail today not as Christ's chalice, but as your quest for a definition of generosity. If you do not take care of your body, your soul, and your mind, where will you live? If we don't generously take care of our church community, our family, and our planet, where will our grandchildren and great-grandchildren live? If you don't take care of your grail, what will you do? I seek the grail. Otherwise, for me, it's the gorge of eternal peril for satisfaction with my life. This church helps me in that church. What does your grail say about the virtue of generosity? It is an important question. I want to help you create your definition. Recently, I saw an article that said septuagenarians, that would be me, I'm a septuagenarian, who were not satisfied with their life, said that their number one regret was that they did not understand their purpose. They did not know what they were doing in this planet. They had not pursued a purpose they could identify with. Today we focus on the virtue of generosity, and I recognize that's a small piece of your grail. We also have other grails about our family and our professions, fitness, whatever. We got other grails, but we're talking about the grail of generosity. My tale includes the idea of giving and receiving, receiving and giving. When Stephen Covey wrote of scarcity, I have to say that was my childhood. We did not have much, and I would try to get my share, or it would be gone. Fill the plate, clean the plate, eat seconds, even if I'm not hungry. I never understand you all. You say you don't go back. You say you're full. I don't understand the concept. I go back anyway. I still struggle with this. I refuse to go to all-you-can-eat restaurants. When I had money, it was mine. I kept it. I was careful with it, but I kept it. It wasn't to share. My first step, a significant step in my learning generosity, was knowing Mennonites in Elkhart. Mennonites do good works. Learning of their good works was a step towards my doing good works and led to my entering the field of social work. Then Katie and I show up in the mid-80s. You know, we really didn't pay attention. We came and listened to Drew Kennedy. We liked him. And we went home. And when Drew left, we left. I would guess our last attending at a service other than Christmas Eve was Drew's last sermon. We left, but like Ron, we showed up again. We came back in 1998, and we immediately joined. And we were introduced to the concept of pledge. I used to make light of Katie and I as we considered our pledge. For me, it started with, we're supposed to give money? I thought churches just wanted us to come. Throw some money in the basket. We hear the sermon. If we like it, that's great. If we don't, we go home and we watch the Super Bowl. Then we had a debate. Maybe it was worth a movie. We could pay the equivalent of a movie for how many ever Sundays we came. Now I think at least we had a foundation of our discussion, and we covered our UUA fees and probably a little bit more. Growing up, neither of us had religious participation. My family did not share money. There was not a history of generosity. When we were here, we noticed the way people in this church gave of their talents, gave of their times and money to make this community better. They must, we said, think it is their church, as we now think it is ours. Money is a key piece of generosity. One of the first forms of money was barley. We tried to bring a truck full of barley for our pledge. Jennifer would not have that. The sacrifice of money is measurable. So then I thought, just pay and attend if I felt like it, missing the broader point of participation. It may be a challenge to attend generously, right? Attendance is a part of our responsibility to our church family. If we do not participate, we do not receive from you, and we do not give to you. Give, and you shall receive. Receive, and you shall give. And I would add, this is the hard part for me, receive with gratitude, humility, and knowing that you are worth it. So we give more time. We learn more of what we receive from the church. We find friendships. We learn it of the complexity of operation of this property, the staff, and the community. Now, I look forward to working at the bazaar. And I like doing cleanup on Saturday mornings. Don't forget poker, right, Ron? Yeah. Ask us. We'll tell you it's about the money. It's about the love we have for each other in that poker game. We've got to know each other. Dinner discussion groups. Within this church, we receive, in interactions with you all, knowledge, friendship, and support. Plus, we interact on a regular basis with role models of giving generously. We did not know when we came here that we wanted to be a part of a welcoming congregation, or a church that influenced the naming of Martin Luther King Boulevard, or would show up at rallies for various social justice issues in Muncie, in Indianapolis, or in Washington, D.C. It never crossed my mind that I would help with an ordination or installation. It was never a wisp of an idea that I might one day speak from a pulpit at any church. And I receive friendship, insight, and at spiritual education. There is also a blessing when struggle occurs, as Ben talked about, right? Such as the prolonged illness and death of our daughter-in-law, Talia Lugina Victoria Elizabeth Clayton Frederick. Gifts of love, generosity, kindness, and concern, and of course food, came our way. Thank you. Jimmy Buffett says, A lot of things. I can't quote some of them. He says, is this heaven here on earth or is it really hell? Only time will tell. Well, you have helped me learn that only my participation fully in my life will tell. When you've given to us, no one has asked. No one says, what is your church contribution before giving support or friendship? No one shames us if we don't show up for cleanup. We give to you because we believe supporting our church family is right. We receive as we work to understand that we are worth it. We also have opportunities to support you as we learn of your joys and your struggles. We know and trust that our contributions of time, talent, and money are appreciated. We know because we trust you. We have that kind of faith in you, in the congregation, in the staff, and in the Reverend Seth Carrier Ladd. Now, if you could bear with me a moment, I want to thank you for your contribution to this church. And I want you to imagine that I'm looking you individually into your eyes, that I'm standing close to you. Not too close. And I use your name. And I say thank you for your specific contributions to our church. And I name them. And for some of you, I would go on and on and on. There's a lot of contributions. And I thank you and I look you in the eyes and I say, I appreciate every dollar, every financial contribution you give to our church. It's important that you know that. I too, by the way, I like being thanked. But thank you is not why I give. I give because it is the right thing for me to do within my definition of the grail of generosity. Give, but not to receive. And yes, it's true, I receive. And by receiving, I give more. Tithing. Okay, don't groan. I have a Christian friend who tithes. I asked Steve how he sees generosity. He said, 100% is God's, and he and his wife keep 90%. They are doing their piece of their grail in the way that is correct with them. I agree. None of this is mine. I am just passing through. I am just a speck in the cosmos of time and space. Does tithing happen here? Probably. But no one asks, no one tells. Frankly, we only talk of money when it's stewardship time or there is a sanctuary concern. Has anyone taken a peek at our parking lot? And we still got the, well, we turned the projector off, but we've been having problems with that. We have continually stuff comes up. So far, generosity eventually wins. We move forward with projects and give raises to staff and handle rising expenses of insurance and cleaning, electricity and water and mowing and the ongoing repairs and so on and so forth. Have you noticed that we have an awesome youth program and that they participate fully in our church? How does that happen? I say generosity transforms us. And yes, some Unitarians tithe. Rebecca Ann Parker says, I was taught to. I continued because people admired that I did so, but as I matured, I developed my own reasons to tell the truth about who I am. She writes, I have something to give. I have received abundantly from life. I am connected and care for many things larger than myself. If I did not tithe, I would lose track of these truths about who I am. Quinn is our six-year-old neighbor. We gave her a $2 bill, and we later asked Quinn, what did you do with it? She says, these are her words, I tithe. She gave 20 cents to her church. I guess Quinn will tithe when she is older. Which brings me to the story of the lost visitor in New York who stopped a passerby and asked, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, man, practice. It's an old joke, right? Similarly, we can both learn and teach generosity. Look at your green band daily. Practice, people, practice. Help your kids practice. Our kids practicing can transform the future of our church, the future of our society, and the future of our planet. Measuring generosity is not just giving a percent, but rather fully exploring our generosity grail, including the UU part of it. We must, of course, include ourselves and our families. If we don't take care of our body, mind, soul, and families, what good are we to this church? UU guides us, Katie and I, in our broader list of generous possibilities. So this challenged us to say, what is our big picture? To ask you, what is your big picture of generosity? Get specific on your jail, your grail, not your jail, regarding giving and participating with the numerous organizations that ask for efforts and money. And there will be hurricanes, floods, fires, and donations for friends' experiences and various illness. Three questions. Oh, that's nice. Or the gorge of eternal peril. What do you stand for? What are those truths? What is your grail? The financial aspect is measurable. Katie and I trust this church for a great part of our definition of grail. In conclusion, generosity is a virtue. Generosity must be a piece of your life that you more clearly define and that you can grow. Maybe you will tithe one day. What is your point of view about giving and receiving? And receiving and giving? How is your grail specifically defined? I hope this sermon influences you to be generous as you do your pledge to our church. This church has blessed me. I believe I have received bountifully for my participation here. That benefit is not measurable in dollars and cents, but rather in the soul of my humanity. The generosity to me from this church has been priceless. Peace be with you.